I got it. So I'm going to run the safety algorithm now. I create two temporaries. One is an integer called work, which I start with the value in available. I create an array called finished, all of which are false. And I initialize work to work minus x, where x is the amount of money somebody asked for. So I pretend I give it away. No, I need to do something. I got the wrong algorithm here. Add allocate to work. I need to change this, and I need to need I plus X. No. Alloc I plus X. So I pretend I gave away the money. Okay? And then I'm going to check. I think I've got a frozen system here. What does this mean? Finish J is false. Why am I checking that? Okay, let's ignore finish J is false. Need J is less than or equal to work. What does that mean? Close. Rephrase that. What is work? Work is equal to avail minus whatever this guy asked for, but it'll keep changing. I'm going to be doing things over and over again. Work is currently available, which is a little bit of fiction because I've been using it as a temporary. So I have not changed work yet. But work, I changed it to lower it by x. So if I allocated x, then work reflects how much money is in the bank. That much money is greater than or equal to need of j. What is need of j?
How much j needs to get.
How much j needs? Who is j? No, it's not the person who's drawing money. It could be the person drawing money. It's anybody in the place. So find a J. So I've got N elements here. I can pick anyone whose finish is false and need is less than J. So will I find such a J? Yes, maybe not. So is there anybody? J is anybody who doesn't want as much money that goes beyond what I have in the bank. And there may be multiple of these. Just find one. Okay? Does it matter whether you found the first one or the last one or the middle one? No, it'll work out. You should find all of them, but things, as the algorithm runs, things will change also. So find me one and call it J, whose value in the need column is less than work, less than equal to work. That means I'm going to pick this J up and say, hey, although you've not asked for anything, I'm going to pretend that you will take whatever I have and repay all that you've already taken. So writing it down as code would look like, so I find someone called J who I can satisfy. That is, all these people are wanting money. There's somebody wanting less money than I have. So I'm going to pretend to kill this person off. But I don't even have to give him the money. I just take back whatever he has, because I'm just going to assume he will take the money I have and repay the whole thing. So this says I just take J and pretend to kill him off by adding his allocated money to work. That is, money he has already borrowed, I reclaim it. Okay? And in my temporary array, I mark it true. So I, now this particular J is gone from my find J list because it's gone. So next time I come around, I need to find another J such that finish J is false, so this J will not be considered. Got it? Any questions so far? So at some point, somebody asked for $10. I pretend to give him $10. I got a little less. Whatever is less, is it enough to satisfy one more person? And if it better be. If whatever is left will not satisfy anybody, then I'm already in trouble. Now, could I be already in trouble? Not if I was checking all the way. So if that happens and I cannot satisfy anybody, I've done something wrong in the past. I've sinned. But since I know I have not sinned, I bet I will find somebody. Now, when I find this somebody, I go like, okay, here's the money you wanted, and take it back again and take back everything you've borrowed, because I'm pretending I'm working in the future now. So you have enough, I have enough to satisfy your need. I'll give that to you. I'll take it back. I'll take back more because you've taken some from me. And so that, the first step I don't need to do. The second step is to add allocate J to work. Now I've gotten a bigger pot. And I'm done. No, I'm not done. Is this bigger pot enough to satisfy somebody else? Okay? Because as in one of these examples, C borrowed 10 and gave it back, and that wasn't enough to satisfy anybody. So then I'm going to try this again to see another person who can be written off, ticked off. So I want to tick off people and take their money back in a particular order. And as I'm ticking off people, my pot is growing. At the end of the day, I will look for so I keep looping through this, find J, do this, find J, do this. Then I can't find a J. Why can't I find a J? I can't find a J if all finished J's are true, because I'm looking for finished J is false. If there's no finished J is false, I can't find a J. That is what I want, that everybody is satisfied. And that is safe. But the other case is not all finished J is true, blah, blah, blah. I don't care what the reason is. If the first condition is not true, it's unsafe. Something happened. It's not ending. Got it? Then I'll have to do further business. This is just a test to see, should I consider the request of X dollars from I? So I gave I X dollars, I adjusted its numbers, and then I ran the safety algorithm. Any questions so far? I've got a few more steps to go.
So J is the number of accounts, I guess?
N is the number of accounts. J is an iterator. So find J. Find J means the following. Finish and alloc. Somebody, I is the process who asked for it. So I know what I is, maybe number four. Then I go find J. Who's J? I have to scan the finish array. Finish array is all false. That's initially. So, then I go like, okay, I found one that's false. So that's J. J is zero. Check the allocated, the need matrix, not the allocated matrix. Check the need matrix. If the need is less than total work, then J is the first guy. If it's not, then I try the next one. So I move until I find a J that satisfies. And then I obliterate that. Then again, the next search will start from the beginning. So I will be sweeping the J array as many times as this loop runs. So there is also the question of complexity. What is the complexity of this algorithm? Order. How many times do I have to do this, worst case? No? Yeah?
Would it be O of n squared?
N squared. How does he get to n squared?
Maximum, you loop through it, the amount of all that you have in the array.
I have n arrays in, n elements in my array.
So maximum, you would loop through it.
To search for J, the maximum I look through is n, or n by 2, average n by 2. That's still order n. And how many times do I do it? I'll have to flip all the J's to true. So that's another n times. So n loops, because in each loop, one element will get from false to true. And in order to determine safety, I've got to flip n elements. So I will do the loop n times. I may do the loop less than n times, it'll be unsafe. But average, n by 2. Again, that's order n. So order n times order n is n squared. NNN is not 2N, it's N squared. Why? Because you're finding J N times and that's order, right? So it's a multiplier. It's all N, maybe you just... Find J?
Find J is between N and 4 or something.
Okay, that's close.
Quote. Oh, this one? You're looking, thinking it's 4? Okay. Okay, so N squared. So, back to the algorithm. This is an explanation. So that's my safety algorithm. I'm not done, but I have to do the loop n times until everything is true, and I want to get to the point where I can't do it anymore. Hopefully, by then I've run it n times, and all j's are true. Finish j is true, and if not, then there's a problem. So the answer. The algorithm will then, based on whether the finish array is true or not, give me the answer, safe or not safe. If the algorithm says safe, or have I already changed that? No, I've already changed that. If it's saved, then I've got to give it. So I just return saying, you're done, you're fine. But I will have to take out the money from Avail, and I should be allocating the money, I should be deducting from the needs, but I've already done that. So I don't need to do that again. But if the algorithm says unsafe, then what do I do? You need a separate thread to do this. I'd use a concurrent thread which starts up returns. So then you put this request in a deferred state. You will get to it later. Okay? Don't throw it away. Unsafe, sorry, no. I will let you know when it is safe. You have to think of how to program it, but I'm just writing it in English. Okay, so now what's going on? People are asking for money. Some I'm just putting it in my circular file. And some I am saying, okay, you're done. You got the money. Where do I go from here? What about that deferred stuff? Any ideas?
Are you asking, like, what do we do?
Yeah, I mean, how do I... am I done? I'm claiming I'm not done yet.
You have to handle the deferred.
I have to handle the deferred.
Would you handle it the same way, like, the Senate part handles it, where once the resources become available?
Yes, but tell me how. When is resources going to be available? How will I, who's running the show, bank, know that the resources got available? Somebody bought returns. So it should be triggered by returning money. So return, I don't have to check for safety. I've always checked for safety. Okay, back up a little. Initially, when I did all my initializations, I need to run safety algorithm to see if this is even feasible. All the maximum limits and all that stuff. So before even I start loaning out money, I need to check my initial conditions safe. After that, I've been loaning out money or deferring based on whether my algorithm says it's safe. So I've always been safe. I've been deferring anything that looks a little smelly. So if somebody returns money, there should be no problem. So all I do is... No, that's not true. That's not true at all. I said the need is equal to zero. Yeah, it'll not need anymore. Anything that's returning money available goes up, allocation can be decreased, and the need becomes zero. Okay? So something came back. My money in my bank went up, one customer is gone, but still maybe hasn't returned everything, but will be returning. So I keep track of that. And then I look at each entry in my deferred list. I've got this deferred list. People have asked and I haven't replied to them. Which one should I pick? Pick the first one. Run the safety algorithm. Maybe the first one is asking for too much money. The safety algorithm will just say, okay, no, this is asking for too much money. But if the safety algorithm says safe, then I go through this whole process of allocating the money, taking it out of the deferred list. And I forgot here, I don't do this. If the safety algorithm, I allocate, I'm abbreviating that allocated step has already been shown, and I inform the person the money was there, and I delete from the list, and I go to the next item. So I'm going to go through every item in my deferred list. If not safe, I still go to the next item. Just because this request is not safe doesn't mean the next item is not safe. Now, what's the complexity? I'm running how many safety algorithms? Every request is order n because there's a safety algorithm. Order n squared because there's a safety algorithm. Every returning of money is order n times, I'm not sure, could be as much as n. So it could be an n cubed algorithm. Worst case. So it's pretty complex, that's what I'm trying to get at. It's a heavyweight algorithm. You're managing too many things, you're running too many speculative things to see at each stage am I fine. I'll always be fine, but I've got to make sure. And then, as I collapse things, I have to finish off deferred requests. Make sure I pick the correct deferred requests in the correct order. Because if I pick the wrong one, I'll get into deadlocks. Yeah?
Is it guaranteed that every deferred request will eventually...
If you started with a safe state, then you know that everything can be satisfied. Okay? So it sounds simplistic, but it's not. It gets into plenty of nuances. So, is it practical? Not really. Well, the generalized resource allocation problem really doesn't have much to do with the banker's algorithm. Only in the case that you have multiple instances of multiple resources, then you can run a two-dimensional banker's algorithm, because this talks about only one kind of resource, dollars. Now, what if there was 100 currencies and people wanted to borrow a bit of dollars, a bit of pounds, a bit of this? Then it's easy, you can just make it in two-dimensional, and that would be. But everybody's credit limit has to be pre-declared by that process as to what is the maximum amount of resources you will need. So you've got to predict that. And then, two, we're considering n processes here. Processes are not static. N grows and shrinks. They die and they come. Can you handle that? I won't even attempt to do that, but yeah, you could. You'll have to tweak the algorithm. So you've got to make it into a dynamic algorithm. Is that something that's really done in real life? No. But it's an interesting exercise. It's there for knowledge's sake. Okay, I think there must be some questions.
So, out is, the amount of money that's allocated to a customer, right?
The what? Work?
Allocated.
Alloc is how much each customer has, yes.
Okay. So, alloc 1 is different from alloc 2.
Right.
But they all have the same limits.
No. Oh. Limits are in max, and they could be all different.
then what is need?
It's just a max minus alloc, because I'm using need, I'm not recalculating. It's a calculated array. For each I, max minus alloc is need. Any more questions? So we're done with deadlock prevention, deadlock avoidance. Then there's deadlock detection. How easy is that? There is a common case. We started with the resource allocation graph. Okay, how do we detect deadlocks? Before answering how do we detect deadlocks, let's go back to the resource allocation graph, which depicts who has what and how many requests for resources are outstanding. In that resource allocation graph, we discussed it long back, that you could do some cycle detection, but it's not worthwhile, because a cycle means nothing. It means there could... Deadlock means a cycle, but cycle doesn't mean deadlock, so cycle detection doesn't give you any definitive answers. So before getting back into the game of can we use the resource allocation graph to detect deadlocks, I want to look at a simpler case. The simpler case often happens to be a common case, where every resource has only one instance. Okay? There's one of this, one of this, one of this. Not 10 of this, 100 of that. So if the case, and locking algorithms and databases generally have the locks on each item, so you take it or you leave it. So this special case is often a common case. In that case, I can simplify the resource allocation graph. So, back. The resource allocation graph can be simplified to a weights for graph. How? What does that mean? Okay. The resource allocation graph will now look like there's only one instance of every resource, and this is R0, R1, R2, R3. Here are my processes. P0, P1, P2, P3. If P0 requests R0, that can be granted. So I'm not keeping track of the transient links. Now, if P1 requests R0, that's there. P2 requests R2, it got granted. P3 requests R3, it'll be like this. So I can take this graph here and say I collapse it to P0 waits for P1 on R0. How do I do that? No, this is wrong. I look for every process with an outgoing edge, and I go to wherever that path terminates to the next hop. There can be only one. There can be only one edge going out of this guy. So there are two edges coming into this guy. So I will put the end point P0 here. P1 is pointing to R0, which is pointing to P0, and so is P4. And this is for R0. And here we see P3 pointing to P2 on R2. This can be done only because there is no multiple edges going out of a resource. There can be zero or one edge going out of a resource. If there is a zero number of edges going out of a resource, there shouldn't be any incoming edges. They'll get satisfied. Okay? So I can now prove that I can take this and I can convert it to get rid of all the resources, and they become edges, and these edges go into the vertices are only processes, the resources are edges, and any unallocated resources do not appear here. Or even unallocated resources that are not wanted do not appear here. And that's called a weights for graph. Intuitively, anything here, it just means that P4 is waiting for P0. P1 is waiting for P0 on the same resource. It could be much more complicated also. Of course, it can be. So let me take this weights for graph, which says P0, P4, P1, R0, R0. And it is possible that I have P10 waiting for R7. I'm drawing a new one. And there is P3 waiting for P2. And there could be P5. There could be P6. Something like that. And the resource numbers doesn't really matter. I don't even have to label that. And this is a weights for graph. Okay? So in a case where there's only one resource of every, one instance of every resource, the operating system or whoever is the resource manager does not have to maintain a resource allocation graph. They can maintain a weights for graph. And they can maintain the weights for graph just as a graph of processes. The labels on the edges don't matter. And then we can go into the whole algorithms of the maintenance, when do edges get added, when do edges get deleted, etc. Which just skip that part. It's kind of intuitive. That as more and more processes submit requests for resources that are not available, you get a weights for edge. And if P0 gives up R0, then you've got to decide which request was first, give it to that process, delete that edge, and the other edges will move to that process. So you've got to maintain this weights for graph. Okay, so what's up with that? What's up with that, which we'll talk about next class, is cycle becomes very important. It's a necessary and sufficient condition. What does that mean? Well, we can talk about it.